Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and we are the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. Coming to you on a Tuesday night. Happy Valentine's Day, Andrew.
Happy Valentine's Day, Kevin.
It was a early Valentine's Day present last night in Allen Fieldhouse.
I loved it.
You were there, right?
I was not there.
What?
No, I was not there.
What the hell were you doing?
Well, my brother went, and I didn't know he was going because we split our tickets.
Okay.
And so he took his wife.
Oh,
and
bummer.
I had thought I was going all day. And then
And
I texted him like, oh, I don't have the tickets. Can you send them to me? Because you can do that. Like, can you send them through email?
Right.
And then he's like, I'm going, remember? And I'm like, no!
Dang. And then, you missed a pretty good one, too.
Well, at a certain point, and I would say 37 minutes of the game, I thought to myself, I could miss this one. And then...
Whoops.
Yeah. Okay, so let's clear the air here. Dick Vitale was very upset about the people leaving. I just want to get my take out there. Those people leave at 4 minutes every game.
Every single game. Same group. Yeah. Yep. It's the sticker this folks. It's the sticker wearing sweater folks.
Right. This isn't a new thing. Like, they leave every game. And It still was pretty rocking. And this is what I really think. When those people leave, it lets you stretch out a little bit more in your tight seat.
Sure.
So, I think that those who got to stay got to have a little bit of extra room, and that maybe let them cheer a little bit louder. I think it worked out for the best.
All right, I like that. Bill Self after the game even remarked about it. He said a couple times, even on the radio and in the press conference, that those guys that left early missed a hell of a finish. So I think he even noticed it, which is kind of surprising.
So the Johnson County folks got to go home and be home by 10:30.
Sure.
And everyone else got to see a great game and got to be home at 12:30. It's just how it works.
It was worth it, though. Great finish in that West Virginia game. Andrew, we probably also should talk about this Texas Tech game this week, which looked even better after last night when Baylor went into Lubbock and lost. We won 80-79 at Texas Tech. Josh Jackson went bonkers. Going like 12 of 15 from the field or something. He's 31 points. 31 and 11. Crazy game, which is great because Frank was not himself, going 4 for 13 from the field. Only had 12 points in 26 minutes. Definitely the low on the season for him, 26 minutes. So good to see us win a game on the road without Frank at his best. Landon played okay. He got 13 points off 5 of 7, and Svi wasn't great, and we weren't great. It was just Josh's game, man. So good to see that, and obviously a huge win now that you see what happened with Baylor.
I think so too. So that puts us up 2 games with 5 left. Is that right? A win at Baylor would put us up 3 with 4 to go. So we're in a pretty good spot. It's not locked down by any means, but you got to be feeling pretty good about it.
You do. And that game last night, I mean, it was after Baylor lost and it looked like we were going to lose. I was like, God, is this going to happen again? Like, remember last time we lost at home, but everyone else lost too. It kind of made me feel like that was going to happen again. But then, they found a way. Crazy comeback win against West Virginia. Let's talk about that for a minute.
I want to talk about it for more than a minute.
Okay.
Because it was important.
Mr. Huggins did not get his $25,000.
No, he didn't. He was probably already like on the bench on his little phone, like buying stuff from Amazon. It's like, ooh, I got $25,000. Ooh, Ultra K 4K TV. Ooh, I'm going to buy that.
Mm-hmm.
I think he gives it to charity, but
whatever. It's more fun to think he buys like Snuggies and blow up mattresses and stuff.
And then, so it's like a minute left. He's like, oh, I want to buy that. I want to buy that. And then he's like, what?
What was crazy is, okay, so we went to the press, right? Which Self after the game said something like, the last time we practiced the press was over a month ago. They don't really do the press much. And what was crazy is that, like, West Virginia had never seen a press before, which, I mean, their name is Press Virginia, right?
I mean,
think that they practiced against a press.
They were actually pretty terrible against that press.
They were like rattled.
Throwing the ball out of bounds, and maybe it was just kind of the whole momentum of the game, but they were definitely rattled. They did not know how to handle that press. Turnover after turnover, they didn't get the ball across half court very many times in that last 3 minutes. It was pretty ridiculous that the tables were turned like that.
Yeah, they got pretty tight, and it was crazy. Those last 3 minutes of that game, I don't know about you, but it felt like it lasted like 45 minutes.
I think it lasted 20. I think someone on Twitter said that it lasted 20.
Isn't that crazy?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was more. But wow. I also saw that there was a 0.2 win percentage chance from KU at 5 minutes left. I don't know what it was at 3 minutes left, but at 5 minutes, it was 0.2.
I think it was 0.01% was what I saw. And it flipped to 0.01% the other way in overtime when they went up whatever it was. 9 or 8 or whatever it was. So in a matter of that short amount of time, it flipped from 0.01 to 99 point, whatever, 99.9. So insane game. I mean, like once in a not very often type of game, you don't really see that type of fold from a team and that type of comeback in such a short amount of time. Self called it one of the most, if not the most remarkable game he's ever been a part of. A lot of people immediately after the game were like, well, what about the national championship game, 08-08? And he started thinking about it, and his response was, well, everything went right for us when we were down 9 with whatever it was, minute and a half, 2 minutes to go. Like, everything went right for us. In this game, not everything went right for us in those last 2 minutes, but for some reason they still found a way. Like, we had stupid turnovers and gave the ball away and just stuff like that. But it's still like, it didn't seem to matter. Like, it was just fate that we were winning that game. So crazy, right.
and
stuff.
And I think if you compare it to that Memphis game, it's not like we played terrible during the whole game. It's just, that's kind of how the game worked out with 2 minutes left. And we came back and won. We played terrible for 37 minutes.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Not good.
Josh missed like 4 dunks.
Yeah.
Frank missed a bunch of layups. Everybody was missing layups. And it wasn't like we were playing into West Virginia's hands in terms of turnovers, in terms of, you know, not succumbing to the press. We're doing okay with that.
Yeah.
But it was just not converting. I mean, we shot terrible percentage in those 37 minutes, and then that all kind of turned around in the last 3. But, Kevin, I want to ask you a question. Did you ever think about turning the game off?
So I was in a hotel room in Washington, D.C. I felt like ass. I had the flu, and I was not feeling well at all. So I did one of these things where, like, when we were down 14, I turned my head sideways and stopped watching and just started listening to the game.
Oh, and
so
okay.
I didn't give up, but I sort of gave up. I kept it on. And again, I felt like crap. I was like ready to pass out and, you know, started coming back. And honestly, Andrew, ever since we won that game, I started feeling better. It's like the flu virus went away as soon as we won. So freed me up. Yes. But the answer was yes. I had started to kind of tune out a little bit. What about you?
Well, I was just upset.
Yeah.
I was changing spots in the living room. I was moving around. Nothing was working.
So I did this thing. I got to tell you this. Oh, no, I'll interrupt you. I don't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead and finish your thing. You said that was...
I wasn't going to turn it off, but I was ready to go to bed.
Okay.
I was ready. I was like, I was sleepy.
You were resigned.
I was resigned, but hey, and then I couldn't go to sleep.
Right. Me neither.
I mean, I was like ready to go to bed. Like, okay, let's get this game over so I can go to sleep. And then I didn't go to sleep.
Yeah, me
couldn't
neither.
Go to sleep. Okay, you have an important story. Let's hear your story.
No, it's really important. And so I remember when I was watching the game in 08, the national championship game, we were down 9 or whatever. I remember saying out loud, just make it a game. Just do somehow, some way, make it interesting. Like, if we don't win, whatever, just come back, make it interesting. And last night, I said the same thing out loud to myself in my hotel room, Andrew. So that's my thing now. Like, you know, some people go out and smoke a bunch of cigarettes, like rally smoke. My thing is, if we're down late, I say out loud, just make it interesting. Just come back and make it interesting. I know it's so lame, but it worked. So I'm going to keep doing it. And I remember doing it distinctly in 08. I went to the bathroom. It was a timeout. I said it to myself, like in a stall or urinal. just come it interesting. Anyway, so that's pretty lame fandom stuff.
All right. But so while we're talking about this, where did you watch the 08 game?
So on Mass Street, what was that bar that was there for like 10 minutes? It had Bocce.
Oh, Joe Schmoes?
Joe Schmoes. Is that it? I think it is. It was a 2-story deal.
Yeah,
and on the second floor, the Kansas University of Kansas Law School rented out that second floor, and my girlfriend, now wife, I watched it with her there at the University of Kansas Law School party at Joe Schmoes.
Yeah, and that place didn't last very long.
No, but it's got a little spot in my heart.
Yeah.
Got it. What about you? Where did you watch it?
Quinton's.
Okay.
Right. Which I'm not like talking bad about Quinton's. I'm not going on this podcast to talk bad about Quinton's, but it's not my favorite.
Not my favorite either.
But
good Sammy's.
But it will always have a special place for me.
I understand. All right, Andrew. So a huge week, 2-0, taking a nice little lead in the Big 12 as a result. I just want to quickly, Andrew, look at the schedule get an update. This is again that 8-game stretch that we were talking about. Dreading the upcoming schedule so far through 7 games, Andrew, 5-2.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. And we've got one left at Baylor. Even if we lose that game, 5-3 in that stretch felt really good to me. And certainly still, we felt all along 5-3. You get through there 5-3, you're still going to win the Big 12. And obviously, I think we still feel pretty good about that even now. So let's quickly take a peek at the Big 12.
Y'all ready for this? Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
How about playing a little defense? You ever heard of that one, Stan?
BCS.
All right, Andrew. So a couple games of note from this last week. Baylor went on the road and beat Oklahoma State, which is a nice win. I was kind of hoping they would lose that one, but they ended up, of course, losing to Tech later in the week last night. And then West Virginia murdered K-State at West Virginia. Those were the kind of big ones. This week's games, there's a couple good ones. Iowa State at K-State could be interesting. Oklahoma State at TCU could be interesting. KU at Baylor obviously is huge. And then Tech at West Virginia could not, you know, Texas Tech's playing pretty well right now. So I wouldn't put it past them to give West Virginia a game, especially after that. Just, they were down, man. Did you watch that press conference with Huggins?
No, because I don't get Time Warner, so I didn't get to see anything, but I heard it was pretty bad. So what was his deal?
They were some sad faces. I mean, it was funny. It had, I can't remember who was on the state or on the little whatever thing with Huggins, but all three of them, it was Huggins in the middle and then player and player. And all three of them never lifted their head. Like they were, their head was down the whole time. And like every time they asked a question, it was like that tone. And Huggins, of course, had to get in some discussion about the foul disparity and free throw disparity and all that nonsense, which he, whatever. I'm never going to take that from West Virginia. Not once. We've been there enough times and saw that foul disparity play out that I'm not. It was 31-27 in fouls, by the way. It's not like it was that different.
Oh, were they complaining about that?
Yes. Oh, you're freaking out. But
31-27, whatever.
But free throw wise, we shot a lot more. But they were missing. But he spent a good portion on it. So whatever. Again, don't care. Maybe he should have been talking about the 21 turnovers his team had instead. Cause they're one of the best in the country at not turning the ball over, and they had 21 freaking turnovers. So, we only had 15, Andrew, if you're curious. So
it felt like zero. I mean, it didn't feel like we did that at all. Like usually when we have a big turnover problem, it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't remember feeling that crazy about it.
Yeah.
I just, it was everything else that was going wrong. And maybe that's why I was distracted by the missed dunks, because I love dunks.
Right? Where were all the made dunks? Landon had a couple. Actually, Dwight Colby might have had my favorite dunk.
Yeah, finally. When he did that, I thought to myself, finally, someone gets a rebound and dunks it instead of getting the rebound and just kind of going up and throwing it off the backboard or throwing it off the rim and having it lip out. That happens so many times. Just get the ball and go up and dunk it. Dwight Colby did it.
As a Bookie knows how to do it, Dwight Colby finally maybe showing he can do it. Landon had obviously one of the bigger dunks in the game, though, that follow off the turnover where Frank threw it up there and Landon finished it. That was huge, too. So, yep, we got a few dunks in there, Andrew. But, Andrew, let's move on quickly to the old power rankings.
The power lies on their side. Go, go, Power.
All right, so KU's number one. I still have Baylor number two. How do you feel about that?
I think so. I mean, they're a quality team. They're second in the Big 12 in standings. With us coming to town, obviously that changes things a little bit. It's not going to be an easy game for either team. But, you know, West Virginia's, you know, it's a top three league. You can Baylor, West Virginia either way. But, you know, those are the top three elite teams, and you have to figure out who the rest is. But I KU, Baylor, West Virginia, that's the way to go.
Okay. I agree with that. Okay, so that's how I have it right now. Although, Andrew, if you look at it closely, Baylor has lost three of the last five games with a game coming up against Kansas. So,
but I'm not going to put Iowa State ahead of them. I'm not going to put Oklahoma State ahead of them. West Virginia, you know, if you want to make that argument, you can, but
no, I agree. So it's still there, but okay. So I have next, Andrew, number four as Iowa State. Feel that's still right. Are you on board with Iowa State number four?
I'm still a little bitter, still smarting a little bit from two Saturdays ago. And I think that the fact that I am smarting about it means that they should be number four.
Well, they've lost three out of five as well, but they did sneak that one little win in against Kansas, which, yeah. So tomorrow they play K-State, so I'm interested to see what happens in that game. That might change things around a little bit. Andrew, next up, I've got Oklahoma State.
They're playing well.
Still keeping them in there. KenPom, Andrew, they're up to number 20 now. They almost, you know,
they're going to make the tournament. Yeah. I mean, they started 0-5 in the Big 12, but they're going to make the tournament. They're going to be a tough out.
I think they were 0-6 to start the season in the Big 12. Yeah.
0-6. Well, one of those was a Big 12 SEC challenge.
West Virginia, Texas, Baylor, Iowa State, KU, K-State. 0-6.
They were, I was wrong.
But you're right. They did beat Arkansas in there is the next one. But since then, they've only lost to Baylor. So they're on a roll, man. And they've got somewhat of a soft schedule to close, too. So they played a lot of their hard games early. You know, they obviously close with KU, though, at Oklahoma State, which would be a huge game and hopefully not one that matters too much for the Big 12. But theoretically, it could. So that'll be interesting. I next have TCU, Andrew, ahead of K-State. How do you feel about that?
I don't know enough about TCU yet.
No? Yeah,
I haven't got a chance to watch them that much. I mean, just in our game at Fort Worth.
Well,
I guess we'll know next week. But I don't know. K-State, they gave us a game twice. I still put K-State above them.
Here's my reasoning. I was debating these two back and forth. So I looked quickly. I couldn't remember what happened when they played each other. And then I was like, oh, yeah. TCU went on the road to K-State and beat them 86-80. So TCU has beat K-State, and TCU has won three out of their last four games with only a loss to Baylor. They beat Texas Tech, Texas, and K-State. So I don't know. It was tough. Andrew, if you look at K-State's schedule, I can't remember what it is, but they've lost a whole lot of games.
I'll pull it up here. They've lost 5 out of the past 6.
Yeah.
They lost Iowa State, Tennessee, TCU, KU, and West Virginia. And it doesn't really get much easier. They've got Iowa State at home. You know, they should win that game, but you know, we should have won that game too. That's going to be close. They go to Texas. They should win, but they've still got to play. They don't have to play any of the big dogs.
Yeah, so they could go off a little run here. They could win a few in a row.
They need to, and if they don't, they're not gonna make the tournament. This is make or break for them. These aren't just cupcakes that don't matter. These games do matter.
Absolutely. So I have K-State next. You can debate that one. Then I have Tech, which was also tough because they're playing better. Obviously, they almost beat us, and then obviously did beat Baylor. And then Texas and OU to round it off. So we will see next week. We got a few games that could implicate some of these power rankings for next weekend. We will check in at that time. Andrew, we wanted to do kind of a fast episode here because, you know, Valentine's Day, you've got obligations there. But I wanted to touch on a couple quick things before we get out of here. Number one, I don't know if you saw this, but I might have reached out to Redhead.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
I did.
So,
what's the Redhead report? Is this going to happen?
Okay, so if just to you know remind everyone, this is Redhead. We recognize the Bitch I'm Frank Mason song. Supposedly, there's a new version coming out. Bitch I'm Frank Mason Part 2.
Oh, the sequel.
The sequel.
Electric Boogaloo.
So I just kind of tweeted to him and I said, basically from our last podcast said, well, and on this podcast, we talked about how we want, I Am Redhead, which is his Twitter handle. Go follow him. I am at I Am Redhead, to release Bitch on Frank Mason 2 on the podcast, which are his biggest fans on the Jayhawk Talk podcast, and replied. And he said, oh, you know it. I don't know what that means. I know. I don't know what that means, but it sounded like, you know, positive. So we'll see. We'll see. As we mentioned on the last podcast, he gave us whatever we wanted.
he was very nice to us.
When we asked for it and said we were going to rep the song.
He was very kind.
He was.
We are his biggest fans, though. I believe. We are the ones who, I mean, we should start a Kickstarter for this, but to get Bitch, I'm Frank Mason 1 and 2 pressed into vinyl. Would you buy a vinyl copy?
Are you kidding me? I'd frame it.
I'd buy several copies. Frame one and then like listen to it every night on a record player I have to go buy. But
yeah.
How many people do you think would buy? Reply to us on Twitter. If you would buy a Bitch, I'm Frank Mason vinyl copy, let's just say it has both versions. The new one that's going to be equally as spectacular. Would you purchase it? Let's say it costs $20. This is probably not cheap to press that few. There's probably some custom vinyl presser out there who does it like, you know,
sure.
$19 a piece. Would you pay $20 for that? Or $25?
I would pay $25
for
that.
We're not trying to make any money. We do it at cost. But
oh, man.
Let us know, because I would probably try to spend all my money on that.
That would be awesome to make that. And I'm sure that I Am Redhead would support us, right? I mean, independent artist.
It's his music, so right, we don't want to infringe.
Of course not.
Maybe we got to put a little vig on the top for him to collect a little revenue. But sure. 100 copies at $1 or $2 a piece. If we sell out, he makes enough to go.
He makes tens of dollars.
Have a nice little dinner at Chipotle with some friends.
There you go. And maybe start working on Bitch, I'm Frank Mason Part 3.
Oh.
Okay, so that's one big development from this last week. The other development, Andrew, is this Thursday, here in a couple of days, is the Trae Young announcement. He's down, as most know, to Oklahoma and Kansas, highly ranked point guard. Obviously, with Frank leaving, potentially Devontae leaving, we are going to have an opening at the point guard position. Would obviously be nice to have somebody highly ranked caliber come in and take that position. Trey Young is, you know, he's from Oklahoma, so it's going to be tough. I've kind of seen a little bit of everything between Kansas and Oklahoma. I don't know if you've been tracking it very closely, but that will be something to watch as well.
Yeah, well, his crystal ball on 24/7 is 48% Kansas, 36% Oklahoma, 8% Kentucky. Yeah, probably just people who haven't changed. Updated.
Yeah.
And then 8% don't know. So this gives us a slight lead. Him being he goes to Norman North High School, and that's obviously in Norman where OU is. But you know, maybe OU having a down year hurts them or helps them. I don't know.
Hard to say. And then the last thing, Andrew, we were a little concerned about this when we started getting so many nice things in the KU football program. And some of those nice things are starting to decommit.
It's okay. It's leave. Okay. It's one guy decommitted.
Okay. And then we lost our strength coach, right? And lost our
who is leaving on his own accord to be with his family. He's not going to take another job. Okay. And another guy, it looks like he just got fired.
D-line coach. Which is weird cuz he
contract
actually,
not renewed.
Yeah, that's interesting. I thought that one was actually somewhat surprising cuz I think I could be wrong here. I'm maybe making this up, so if I am, whatever. But for some reason I thought he was doing pretty well in the recruiting world. Like people liked him a lot. Maybe not. And so there you go. So whatever. They didn't want to hashtag earn it. That is what it is. And hopefully we get back on track and start getting some more 4- and 5-star recruits in here like we should. Anything else, Andrew, before we get out of here? I know kind of a short episode, but again, we wanted to get something out quickly after this West Virginia game.
I just think so that, you know, any time in your life when things seem insurmountable, just remember the West Virginia game. Down 14 with 2:47. That's impossible. That's impossible, they say. Not for Frank Mason and the boys.
Yeah.
So I remember a couple of years ago or just how we used to use that Texas game as kind of a rally cry. We were down to Texas in Durant year by like 30. I'm making that up. It's probably longer than that. But it's we can use this as a rally cry. You know, no matter how much we're down, we know this team can come back. We know this team can do it.
There's been some pretty epic comebacks in Allen Fieldhouse. UCLA back in the, whatever it was, 90s. I was there. I was a kid. Crazy comeback down like 19. I think it was the Jacques Vaughn game when he came back, scored crazy. And then the Missouri game was a huge comeback to come back and win that game. You mentioned the Texas game. This one's got to rank like way up there though, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, way up there. Which game is better for you, this game or that Oklahoma game last year?
Great question. Probably the Oklahoma game because that was 45 minutes or how many OTs was it? 55 I think there were minutes.
Two overtimes.
Two or three overtimes. Let's call it three. 55 minutes of back and forth.
Yeah.
Excellent play on both sides. This was 37 minutes of great play by them, and then 3 minutes of absolutely great play by us, and then 5 minutes of pretty good play in overtime.
That might be the best 3-minute stretch I've ever seen, from KU basketball. And 37 minutes is of nonsense before that, but that 3 minutes was insane. Although we did have a nice stretch in the first half, we had a 16-0 run, and then we just landed, got his second foul, went to the bench, and they went on a little run to close the half, but whatever. It was crazy game. Obviously, nice to see Devontae Graham get the lid off the basket in the second half there late and
finally,
in the overtime.
There was a point where he only had 3 points, 3 or 5 points, and
yeah,
was not pulling his weight, but he definitely came around.
He's got a little razzle dazzle there in that the dribbling game. Did you notice that he's got a little? I'm not sure there's a better ball handler, at least. Like going up against your man, like a little shaking and bacon, on our team. He's by far the best, right?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty. And then when you make the shot, obviously that helps a lot. So, yeah, great to see. And you know, hopefully we can build on this, continue the stretch. And then that Baylor game is going to be huge this weekend. Hopefully we can go down there and take their best shot and pull something off. I think we're due, Andrew, for like a good game, aren't we? Like,
we're due for a blowout.
We're due for a game where everyone plays well. We haven't really been. I mean, there's been times where guys are stepping up and we've had timely good play, but I think it's time for like a legit game. You know, like everybody gets together and yeah. So there you go. Hopefully we get that this weekend. So let's get out of here, Andrew. Thank you so much for listening and sorry we're a couple days late again on the podcast. Hopefully we'll get back on our Sunday schedule starting next week. We've had some travel things going on these past couple weeks, but hopefully there's an end to that. We are ready to get back on schedule, but thank you again for listening. And until then, Andrew, rock job.
I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players and did the same for the fans.
This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
baby. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering. All them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get the cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.